This coming Saturday night, combat sports fans have a tough decision on their hands. You got the Elite XC show on Showtime, the debut of Kimbo Slice, Nick Diaz versus KJ Nunes for the 160-pound lightweight title. And over on HBO pay-per-view, a fight many fans have been waiting for, Miguel Cotto versus Sugar Shane Mosley, live from Madison Square Garden in New York City. And, you know, a couple of days ago, we spoke to Sam Kaplan of CBS Sports previewing the Elite XC show. Well, now we've invited back Lars from Nomas Online, nomas-nyc.com. You can read all his amazing work over there. He's back on jerrypark.com to convince us why we should watch Mosley versus Cotto. First off, Lars, thanks so much for joining us again here on jerrypark.com.
No, it's great to be back in the park franchise. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, that's actually the first time anyone has referred to us as the franchise on Jerry Park. It's our alter ego, you know, something of the past that Lars helped cultivate. But let's get into the sweet science. And since the last time we spoke, a lot has happened. First off, Calzaghe Kessler, you wrote a great article on Nomas Online, just loving this fight. And the last time we spoke to you, you had sort of given your vote to Pavlik Taylor 1 being the fight of the year. Are you willing to change your vote now?
But it's tough. I'm not going to change my vote. I think that right now I would still go with Pavlik Taylor 1. Pavlik Taylor 1, I guess we're now calling it that with the rematch in the works. But to me, I got to go with that fight is still my fight of the year just because of the great momentum swing, you know, and I think the thrill in that fight of watching Pavlik battle back from being almost out on his feet to kind of surgically walking Jermaine down is still more ultimately, maybe not as exciting, but that Calzaghe Kessler fight was exciting. But the main thing I'd say is that, what you saw in Pavlik Taylor was a fight that seemed like it could have gone either way. Calzaghe Kessler, certainly Kessler had some good early rounds, but for the most part, Calzaghe dominated the fight. It was just the manner in which he dominated it, which was so striking and which made it such a fun fight to watch. But I still don't think that I could rate it higher than Pavlik Taylor. Hey, I mean, how lucky are we as fight fans who've had both of these fights? And Cotto Judah in a year. I mean, it's a crowded field. Everybody's going to have a different opinion on what the fight of the year is right now.
So now the rumor du jour is Calzaghe versus Hopkins, possibly in 08. Is that a fight you'd be interested in seeing?
But I don't love it. I got to say, I don't love it. After Calzaghe's performance against Kessler, that was really the performance that made me a Calzaghe believer. You know, I like the guy. He's always been fun to watch, and the way that he destroyed Jeff Lacy was certainly entertaining. But hey, I mean, what are you going to do with a guy who fights a bunch of opponents that, for the most part, you feel aren't top notch? I'm a believer in Mikael Kessler. I think he's a great fighter, and I think Calzaghe raised himself to a stratospheric level of competition to beat him and beat him in the way that he beat him. So coming off that, to imagine what I think a Calzaghe-Hopkins fight would look like, I feel like it'll be quite a step down. I mean, you know, I got to say, Calzaghe, although Even Bernard's, you know, masterpiece fights. I mean, what's Bernard's masterpiece fight? It's a Tito Trinidad fight, you know. To me, I love Bernard, but to me, it was not quite as high a level of athleticism as Calzaghe over Kessler. But they're very similar fighters in a certain way. You know, they do similar things to disrupt your rhythm. I was really reminded of Bernard watching Calzaghe beat Kessler, ironically, because of the way that he throws punches, the way he slips punches. It's very reminiscent to me of Bernard. You know, Bernard's a great guy with his shoulders, great guy to move into a punch rather than away from a punch, which is textbook to old school boxing, and Calzaghe's great at it as well. I just think that Bernard doesn't have a lot left in my book. He throws one punch at a time, and yet he's still got all the defensive instincts. I just don't see a lot happening in that fight. You know what I mean? I mean, Bernard's fights have been kind of boring for a while. I see two matadors there, and one matador who's really, really defensive-minded and a cagey veteran who knows how to stay out of the way. It's a big money fight for Calzaghe. So at that level, I'm glad that he gets an American pay-per-view reward for his efforts. But I'm not that excited about a fight stylistically. I don't think it's a very exciting fight.
So I guess what you're trying to say, in other words, is you'd rather see Calzaghe over the Montreal brawler Lucien Boute.
Lucien Boute. That's a more compelling fight. That's a quicker fight. You know, boy, I think Calzaghe would kill Boute. But would I rather see it? No, I guess I wouldn't rather see that. You know, I want Calzaghe to make his money. I want him to get a big fight. I just wish there was a better fight out there. Somebody wrote me on Nomas this week asking about Calzaghe Pavlik, and that's a very interesting fight. I don't know if it'll ever happen. You know, I mean, Christ, who knows if Pavlik's alive at this point? I mean, it's the story coming out of Kelly Pavlik town, he's, you know, 108 stitches, and then they're trying to say, oh, he's fine, you know, it's not really that big a deal. I don't know about you, but whenever you get 108 stitches, generally something's happened. They're saying that his Germain fight isn't in jeopardy, but back to Calzaghe Pavlik. I don't know if that's a fight that will ever happen. I'm not sure that's a pay-per-view fight. I mean, we just have to remember boxing fans all boxing fans came out of that Calzaghe, you know, fight doing the We're Not Worthy. I mean, everybody was really, really amazed by what he did. But that's a small fraternity, boxing fans. I mean, I still don't think that he really has enough name. A Hopkins fight would certainly be hyped to the level that it would be a pay-per-view. I don't think it would be a big pay-per-view. I don't think it would do that many buys. But Calzaghe and Pavlik, I think right now both of them need the Pavlik-Taylor rematch. I think will do well on pay-per-view because it'll be so well hyped because of the first fight. I can't see a Calzaghe-Pavlik fight being a pay-per-view fight at this point. So I don't know who's. I mean, I heard somebody wrote somewhere that Roy Jones was a possible opponent for Calzaghe. He said, "Oh my God!" I mean, that's probably just bull crap, you know. But
right, so before we get to Mosley, Lars, you still there?
Yeah.
All right, that was some weird, some weird Bakersfield, California, what's it called, static. But before we get to Mosley against Cotto, tomorrow night's big showdown, I wanted to get your thoughts on the contender. And it's no secret that on Jari Park, we love to cover The Ultimate Fighter, which I guess is the contender's rival in the MMA world. And I was actually flipping through the channels. I don't really watch The Contender, never really drew me in. And I actually happened to stumble upon the main event of season 3 and watched a bit of it, thought it was some good action. Afterwards, though, I'm hearing Brian Kenny quote for quote saying that this was the greatest fight he'd ever seen on television, in person, and I just thought that it was a bit much. And I know some boxing fans have taken offense to Kenny's, I guess, ESPN shilling of the fight and making it into something it clearly wasn't. Wanted to get your thoughts if you saw that and how you viewed ESPN's coverage of their finale of The Contender.
Yeah, but I got to say, I mean, I don't want to hate too much because Jadon Codrington is a friend of Nomas, you know, and I certainly have nothing against the boxers participating. But what can I say about this? How can I put how I feel about this? Jadon Codrington, basically that fight's told me two things about the fighters, one of which is that Saki Obika couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag, and two, that Jadon really wanted to win and has a little more heart than maybe we thought he did in the past. Jadon Codrington fought Alan Green, who was a marginal contender. Alan Green gave a good fight to Edison Miranda, you know, that he lost, but he's a B level fighter. And Alan Green knocked him out in 18 seconds. So that's Jadon's big fight. That was his big step up fight. Sakubica has had a little more success in high level fights. You know, he fought Lucien Boutte, your man Lucien Boutte, and Boutte beat him. He fought Calzaghe in a fight in which Calzaghe notably didn't look very good. A lot of people reference that fight when they talk about Calzaghe not looking very good. But the main thing that I've always thought about Sakubica is that, you know, he's clearly got a hard head and he's tough to knock out, but he's probably the dirtiest fighter in boxing today. I have no problem saying that. He should have been disqualified in the Calzaghe fight. I mean, he's a very, very dirty fighter, which held true in something that I was astonished at. Did not get a single mention. You know, as Dan Rayfield and Brian Kenny are going on about round one of the contender finale being the round of the year, well, because they traded knockdowns. Beak had knocked Codrington out, knocked him down. The first time he knocked him down was on a slip. Jadon really wore the earmuffs for most of the fight, and he had the earmuffs up, and Beka hit him with one of his big, wide, off-balance, preposterous haymakers, and Jadon was moving the other way. It was very clear that Jadon slipped going down. It had very dramatic impact, the way it looked, but if you watch it, the punch clearly hit Jadon's gloves. The punch that really hurt Jadon was the punch that Beka caught flush on his chin while Jadon was on the ground, you know, very clearly on the ground. Any other place than the contender, ESPN, that would have been a disqualification. I mean, no doubt about it. You know, the only fight that Roy Jones lost in his prime was a DQ on, you don't hit somebody when they're on the ground that hard. And nobody did anything. Teddy, they pretended it didn't happen. I'm sure they pretended it didn't happen because it was so blatant and so dirty and so counter to the spirit of the contender, which is all about sportsmanship and heart, et cetera. That one instance to me was just exemplary of the whole fraud of show to me. I mean, these are C level fighters out there trading ridiculous haymakers. There's a lot of money at stake, so they're trying really hard. But this is a fight that if it was on like an undercard at the Hammerstein of a Lou DiBella show in New York, nobody would think twice about. And the only reason that anybody's paying attention to it is because ESPN's talking it up so much. So that's ultimately the way I feel. The fighters, more power to them. But shame on you, Brian Kenny. that's the bottom line for having the audacity. You who, you know, come out of the Customato tradition, to have the audacity on national television to say that that was the greatest fight you'd ever seen. Wow. I hope you make your money, son, because that is awful. And shame on you, Dan Rayfield, who I respect. I mean, he knows a lot about boxing, but to have the audacity in a year that's given us Pavlik Taylor, Cotto Judah, Calzaghe Kessler, to have the audacity to say that right now that's the fight of the year. Oh, my God. I mean, even Teddy Atlas, I'm embarrassed listening to Teddy Atlas call this fight as if, you know, and analyze it as if there's any nuance of style to two C-level fighters throwing off-balance, preposterous windmill haymakers, 95% of which miss, embarrassingly miss the mark. So let's leave it at that. I find the whole thing to be a disgrace. You know, no, let me say one more thing. The way I feel about it is that the best thing that I can say about it is that if NBC was the arbiter of sports news and they came out with all guns blazing to tell us that an arena football game was the best football game of the year, you know, wouldn't everybody just say, what? Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, this is a type of insult to the sport of boxing, and I think that is. So, yeah, I can't get on the contender bandwagon. I hate that show.
I think you speak for all boxing fans with your views there. So let's get to some more interesting stuff. The the big showdown that everyone's been waiting for. Cotto against Sugar Shane Mosley. Welterweight title on the line, and I know you're not a big fan of the titles, but for me it means something, I guess. And one of the things I'm most excited about this event is, or this card, is the undercard, because I was very vocal after Mayweather-De La Hoya in May that the promoters had a great chance of showcasing some younger talent. You know, you have this huge pay-per-view audience, what would eventually become the biggest pay-per-view audience for a boxing fight ever, and they just put on some stinkers out there. I mean, okay fights, but no one that could actually be built up to, you know, perhaps being the guy to challenge one of these two guys in the future. It just, to me, that's what the UFC does so great, and they put these great undercards. But now we've got a great undercard on our hands, and one of the big fights is for the vacant WBO welterweight intercontinental title, whatever the hell that means. Antonio Margarito against Golden Johnson. And just a couple of hours ago, we're taping this on a Friday afternoon, Golden Johnson weighed in a half pound over the limit. I'm sure he's going to make it up very quickly. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Margarito Johnson. And if Margarito wins, could he be in line for the winner of Cotto Mosley?
Yes. I think that Margarito will certainly fight Cotto if Cotto wins. That's the word now. I have to say that surprises me a little bit, but it's a fight, you know, it's got the historical kind of Mexican-Puerto Rican showdown that everybody loves. So I think that's what will be motivating the fight for Cotto. I mean, that's the word that if Margarito wins and Cotto wins, that'll be their next fight. I guess that's where it's at right now, but I have to suspect that if Cotto wins this fight, his star is going to be big enough that I'm not sure. Well, Cotto's a brave guy. The reason it surprises me is because Margarito is definitely a dangerous fighter. He hasn't looked great of late, although, you know, the Paul Williams fight was a great fight. But I consider him to be very dangerous, and he doesn't have a lot of star appeal. And Cotto's starting to move into a rarefied atmosphere here. I see the natural opponent for the winner of Cotto Mosley has got to be Floyd Mayweather, who, by the way, is the recognized champ at 147 still, despite the fact that he moves up and down the weight classes. And Floyd, you know, there's a lot of talk that Floyd's afraid to fight either one of these guys, which I think is really ridiculous. I mean, a lot of that's Bob Arum, in reference to Cotto, is Bob Arum trying to call out Floyd. My feeling is that Floyd will fight Sugar Shane in a New York minute if Shane wins, because that'll be a big money bout. And I think that Floyd is all about the money. You know, after the De La Hoya fight, Floyd's only going to take fights that can really bring an enormous worldwide audience. I mean, Ricky Hatton is a case in point. I mean, it's not the most interesting fight from out there, but Ricky Hatton has a huge, huge national audience that will automatically tune in. And it's, you know, it's a great fight for Floyd. Everybody knows he's going to win. So I think that Floyd would happily fight Shane Mosley. And it's not that I think that he's afraid of Miguel Cotto, although he would be wise to be afraid of Miguel Cotto, but I think he's just waiting for that. You know, it's just waiting for that moment that the fight will have its maximum impact on the boxing public. And I have to say that the Cotto Mosley fight is getting enough attention that I think if Cotto wins it in dramatic fashion, which is the way I believe that he will win it, that the money will be there. So to make a long story short, I think that right now everybody seems to think that Margarito is Cotto's next opponent. I wouldn't be surprised if Cotto's next opponent was Floyd, if he wins this fight.
Interesting. The other big undercard fight is Yoel Casamayor against Jose Armando Santa Cruz. The last time fight fans saw Casamayor, he was defeating the late Diego Corrales for the second time in their three fights. What can fans expect from that one?
Well, it'll be interesting to see where Casamayor is at, because, you know, he's the lineal champ at 135. Obviously beating Corrales, and there are lots of 135 is about to get a lot more interesting, because the other The other belts in the division are held by, and I think Casamayor, I really can't, it's really tough to keep track of these things. I know that Juan Diaz now has two belts. I know that David Diaz has one. I don't know if Casamayor, I mean, does Casamayor still have a belt?
This fight is actually,
I think of him.
It's for the interim lightweight title, this fight.
It is, yeah. So Casamayor was stripped of a belt. I know. I think he was stripped of the belt that he won from Corrales. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, I know that Casamayor recently has come out very vocally to say, hey, look, I am the recognized lightweight champion. I don't think any real boxing insider would dispute that. That's fair. You know, the 135 is about to get a lot more interesting because it looks like Manny Pacquiao is headed that way. I think that Pacquiao will finally, you know, wrap up his tenure at 130. I think he'll fight Marquez after Marquez, you know, came out of the Rocky Juarez fight. And then I think that the word is that Pacquiao will fight David Diaz, who is a natural opponent for him there, because Diaz also beat, like Pacquiao, has beaten Eric Morales. And so Casamayor has to be thinking that, you know, Pacquiao moves, any division that Pacquiao moves into suddenly starts to get a lot more money floating around it, you know. So Casamayor has to think that he wants to get a piece of that pie. And so this is an important fight for him, really, to establish. I mean, the guy is guy hasn't fought in over a year, and he's old, you know. So if he wants to establish himself as a player in a division that's got exciting young talent, you know, I think Juan Diaz is a very exciting fighter. I'd rather see him fight Pacquiao myself than David Diaz. It's got exciting young talent. It's got one of if not the biggest boxing superstar about to enter into its ranks. If Casamayor wants to get in on any of that money, he's got to put on a big show tomorrow night and establish his cred once again.
And then the final televised undercard fight is a junior welterweight one showcasing some great young talent, Victor Ortiz against Carlos Mousa. What can we look for in that fight?
Well, I like to call Carlos Mousa Gumby. He's a Gumby fighter. He throws a lot of wild shots. He's generally off balance. Got a very, very strange style. Victor Ortiz, I got to be honest, I haven't seen him fight, but he is he's heavily touted. You know, Bob Arum loves him. He's a Bob Arum kid, I think of him as a 140, but this fight's probably a 147 fight. And this has got to be I doubt he's fought anybody of Carlos Mouse's level before. Not that I have that much respect for Carlos Mouse, but he's, you know, Carlos Mouse beat Vivian Harris. He fought Ricky Hatton. You know, he's been around. So this is a step up fight for Ortiz. Certainly, you know, the way I see it, I mean, if Victor Ortiz can't get past Carlos Mouse, then forget about him. He's done. And so that'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of talk about him. So it's one of those fights, you know, where you get to see, is there anything to that talk? And that's what we'll see tomorrow night. I have to believe that you'll probably see an easy win for Victor Ortiz. I doubt they would set him up against Mousa. And Mousa is, boy, he's no defensive specialist, so I could end very badly for old Gumby.
Yeah, and just for the record, that fight is going to be at 141 pounds. So,
141?
Yes.
Yeah, so oh, wow.
Just to consider. All right, let's get to the main event.
I thought he was a 140, but I also know that, they, you know, welterweights are where the money's at, so that Aaron's probably trying to get him in there.
Listen, Lars, I'm a former fact checker. You got to bring your stuff. You got to know the knowledge when you come on to JerryPark.com.
I'm glad you're on that.
Let's talk about the main event, Cotto Mosley. And one of the reasons why I actually wanted to have you on to preview this fight is because it's drawing a lot of comparisons of fights from the past. And you and I worked on a show that loved to do that kind of things, classic now, comparing, you know, present day sports events to the past. This one, I've heard two main fights for this one. A lot of people think it's Pernell Whitaker versus Felix Trinidad in 1999. Also, perhaps Julio Cesar Chavez against Meldrick Taylor in 1990. Would love to know if you would subscribe to any of those notions. Do you think this one reminds you of Trinidad Whitaker, maybe Taylor Chavez, or none of the above?
No, on Taylor Chavez, I can't imagine that type of comparison. I mean, that was Meldrick Taylor was in his prime. Meldrick Taylor, in his prime, was. I mean, you talk about. I mean, basically, you're looking. You know, there are other fights you could bring up where there was a Latino bruiser against an African American speed demon. I mean, that's pretty much seemed the way that these comparisons are going. But no, God, Meldrick Taylor, what a beautiful fighter he was. I've recently watched on side of his. Well, recently watched the Meldrick Taylor Buddy McGirt fight, but I won't get into that. Meldrick Taylor is a Philly guy, you know. I really loved him, but I don't see any comparisons to that fight. Tito Trinidad, Pernell Whitaker is a little more prescient in its in sort of the logistics of the comparison, and you know, I mean, you've got the rising Puerto Rican superstar. You know, it seems like he's on the brink of superstardom, and who is noted as a very hard puncher against, yeah, the African American speed demon. Noted stylist who was on the downside of his career, but that's about where it ends, you know. For me, if you really take a close look at it, I remember the Tito Trinidad and Pernell fight vividly, and I thought it was very sad. Like every true boxing fan, I was a huge fan of Pernell Whitaker, you know, and I Pernell just had nothing left at that point. As I wrote today on Nomas, I thought that was a travesty of a fight, and I think Sugar Shane is in a much better place in his career. Sugar Shane takes better care, and Sugar Shane's not a cokehead. You know, I mean, you know, it's not to put too fine a point on it, but Sugar Shane's in good shape. He's coming off two very impressive fights, and the Koto Trinidad. I got to be honest, I'm a bigger fan of Koto than I am of Trinidad. So I think this is a much, much better fight than that fight was. That's my feeling. Yes, straight out, no matter who wins, this is a much better fight than Tito Pernell.
So let's play trainer for a second here and start off with the Mosley camp. Miguel Cotto is, I guess you could say, a slight favorite right now, according to Las Vegas. If you're Jack Mosley, you're preparing your son for this bout to try to prove that he, you know, despite the age difference, despite the 9 years between the two fighters, that he can beat this Brahma Bull, Miguel Cotto. What is the game plan going into the fight to defeat Cotto?
Well, I mean, it might be contrary to the received wisdom about Cotto, because the received wisdom about Cotto is that he starts slow, and he does start slow. There's no doubt about it. And so given that, you would think that Mosley would go out and try and get his licks in early, like Zab Judah did, like everybody seems to do with the guy, you know. And I have a real feeling that Cotto will take a few rounds to adjust to Shane's speed and his style. I mean, I don't think Mosley is near the type of speedy fighter that he once was, but he still, you know, he throws those lightning combinations. I mean, he's still got enough speed that it'll take a few rounds for Cotto to sort of catch the pace. I mean, it's like catching up to the fastball, you know. But I think Shane would, I think what you saw with Judah is that fighters go out and they're scared fighting Miguel Cotto. If you're not afraid fighting Miguel Cotto, then you're not human and you haven't seen any of his fights, because everybody that comes out of a fight with him looks like they're headed for the morgue. And you get a lot of adrenaline flow, and because of that, and suddenly you realize, hey, I can hit this guy because Cotto is. And it's not that I don't think that he can be defensive, but he's just not that interested in it, you know. And you get you get excited by that, and you start to stand and trade with the guy. And as I wrote on Nomas today, I certainly see a 3-for-1 kind of exchange rate early on in the fight, where Shane's hitting him 3 times for every 1 time that Cotto hits Shane. But I think those it's the those one of Kotar's shots is equal to like 10, you know, mortal beings' punches, and that's where. So I guess what I'm saying is that if I were Jack Mosley, I might be thinking, hey, what if we really box him for the first five rounds, try and exhaust him, get on the bicycle, really. And I think that Mosley has about five rounds of that in him, to be honest, of don't let this guy get anywhere near him. Now, that's not a very fan-friendly style, but let's see where this guy's at after five rounds of, you know, of pure Muhammad Ali, stick the right hand in his face, stay on the bicycle, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, stay out of trouble, run the risk of being perceived a little bit to be, you know, running scared, but do it for five rounds and see what you get out of it. And then see if you can wait in, because at that point, Cotto hasn't seen the fastball yet, as far as I'm concerned. That's just an idea, because Cotto is a lot more mobile fighter than people give him credit for. I'm not sure that Shane could do that, but I don't see a lot of upside in the stylistic counterpoint for Mosley. So that's an idea that I'd had of a potential approach for Shane.
All right, now your uncle Evangelista Cotto. Can you learn anything from Mosley's losses, his main losses to Vernon Forrest and Winky Wright? Can anything be drawn from that to incorporate into the game plan of beating Shane Mosley tomorrow night?
No, on Vernon Forrest, because Vernon Forrest just, you know, was longer and as fast, if not faster, than Shane. That was, you know, that was speed beating speed. Cotto's not going to win that way. A little yes on Winky in that Winky. Winky proved very frustrating for Shane and drew him into some exchanges that he would have been wise to stay away from. That's where I see Cotto perhaps wising up a little bit after the challenge that Zab Judah gave him, because I didn't think Zab Judah needed to be as difficult a fight as it was for Cotto. But then again, it's hard for me to imagine Cotto changing his approach at all. You know, it really is. He's capable of being a better defensive fighter. He's actually a very good boxer. He's a much better boxer than anybody gives him credit for. He would probably be wise to fight a little more cautiously than he tends to do in the first couple of rounds, because that seems to be where he absorbs the most of his punishment. But the strange thing about, and the frightening thing about Cotto, is that I really don't believe that Sugar Shane has the power to knock Cotto out. And it seems to me that a couple of good shots to the head is exactly what Cotto needs to start seeing red, you know, and to start getting into the kill zone. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously the main thing that Cotto would be looking to do based on his prior couple of fights is to have a little better first third of the fight. And yet something about the way that first third goes, even though it doesn't seem to go to his favor, also seems to work out for him in the end. So, you know, probably what Cotto should do is just what Cotto should do, what he does, is walk his man down and eventually punish him with the big body shots, you know. And then I love the kill the body and the head will die aspect of Cotto. It's a classic boxing strategy, and he executes it every single fight.
All right, so you kind of touched on it in that answer right there, but it's time now to give us your prediction for tomorrow night. You wrote about it on Nomas, but break it for us down here. Who do you think is going to win, Cotto, Mosley, tomorrow night, Madison Square Garden?
I got Cotto, you know. And I was actually surprised with the Vegas odds today. Cotto's 165 to get 100 on for Cotto, you know. That's getting pretty far away from even odds. You know, I can't remember what Shane was. I can't remember what, a little closer to even odds on Shane, but that told me that the guys in Vegas are thinking they don't want people laying a lot of money down on Cotto. You know, obviously Vegas is not infallible by any means, but I really, I feel strongly than most people that I've seen that Cotto is going to win the fight. And I just keep going back to the Zab fight. You know, I think, I mean, let's look at it on, just look at it on paper. What's the difference between Zab and Shane Mosley? And I think most people would say, well, it's that Shane's got more heart than Zab does. And on the balance sheet, I'd say that that's true. But if you watch the Cotto Zab fight, Zab fought a very spirited fight. You know, he fought with a lot of heart. He really hung in there long past the point at which he should have. He took a lot of punishment in that thing. So I look to that fight and as a blueprint for how this fight will go. And I have to say that's the way I see it right now. And unless there's some really strange stylistic decision on either part, I think that Shane believes that he can dazzle Cotto with speed. I think he knows that he's going to be able to hit him, and I think that he doesn't think that Cotto, I think it, despite all evidence, he thinks that he's the guy that's got the speed, the combination of speed and power to stop the man. And I just don't think it's going to go that way. So I think you'll see Shane go out. I think he'll look great in the first couple of rounds. You know, I think you'll even see some shots where it looks like Cotto's stunned. It happens to him every fight. And I think by about the sixth or seventh round, you'll see Shane really start to slow down. And by the eighth and ninth round, I think you'll start to see Shane really get hurt. And at that point, it'll be what kind of will he has to continue. You know, the Cotto Zab fight could have stopped in the eighth or ninth round, and Zab hung in there until the 11th. I got Shane going down in TKO in the 10th. That's the way I see it. You know, one thing's for sure, I think it's going to be very exciting. I think it'll be as exciting, if not more so, than Zab Cotto, which was a great, great fight. So it's definitely one to look forward to. But like I said, I got Cotto TK on the 10th.
So now the even bigger question is, what will you be watching at the Casa de l'Ars? Is it going to be Cotto Mosley or the Elite XC show on Showtime?
I'll probably TiVo the Elite XC.
Kimbo Slice, baby.
So
you can't.
I know. I love me some Kimbo Slice. Particularly as you said, you know, I'm glad you brought up the undercards because particularly with the undercards, I'll be making a night of it. I want to see all those fights. You know, I want to see all those fighters. It is great when it's a little more complicated with boxing, getting a stacked undercard, but they managed to do it for this one. So. Yeah, it'll be a big night of boxing at Casa Lars for sure.
All right, yeah, I think all boxing fans are excited for this one. Lars, thanks so much for joining us again, JerryPark.com. And next week, we hope to check back in with you to see if your predictions came through, what your thoughts are on the fight, and if you have any more harsh words for Brian Kenny.
Yeah, all right, man. Thanks for having me.